Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Fry, and my wife Becky and I have been members here at Crossbridge for over 10 years. And I'm excited to be here today because I'm excited to close out our What If series. When I first heard this idea, I thought of, you know, endless possibilities for sermon topics. When I hear what if, I think of second chances, an opportunity to have a do-over. What if I did this instead of that? I am prone to daydreaming at times, and I'll think about potential outcomes of decisions if I had chosen to do something just a little bit differently. What if I hadn't quit the basketball team during my sophomore year? What if I chose a different major? What if I hadn't gotten laid off from my first job out of school? How would things be different? And I think what if can also cause us to look forward. What if I made this change right now? How would it affect my family, my health, my work, and more importantly, my spiritual life? Over the past few weeks, we've delved into some of these topics. We started with the question, what if I'm a mess? And we talked about how we are all broken people who are still loved by our perfect God. We looked at how knowing the Bible can make a huge difference when we're experiencing the storms of life. And last week, we wondered, what if we said no to the things that didn't matter, but instead focused on the true priorities in our life? If you missed any of the sermons, I would encourage you to go online. You can listen to them on our website, or you can download them from iTunes. Today's what if question might seem a little more basic, perhaps a little obvious. But I think at the same time, if we're honest, no matter where we are on our spiritual journey, we'll all admit that we've kind of wrestled with this one. We know that we should do it, but for a variety of reasons, we don't. What if I prayed? Before we can really start to unpack this question, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page by quickly defining what prayer is. Simply put, prayer is talking to and listening to God. This can take many different forms. It could be in a large group, or it could be all alone. Prayers could be memorized prayers filled with recited scripture verses, or maybe few words at all. Prayer can be filled with joy, sadness, or perhaps even frustration. There is no set right way to pray. God just wants us to start that conversation. I've been personally convicted about prayer numerous times in my life. About 2 years ago, I was asked to be the godfather for my nephew, Tommy. Now, I mentioned this to my mother in casual conversation, and she told me how my father prays on a daily basis for his godson. I had no idea of my father's level of dedication, but I decided I wanted to follow his example for my godson, for my children, and then for all 19 of my nieces and nephews. Why? Well, any parent in this room can relate to some of the frightening statistics that face our kids. Alcohol, drugs, promiscuity, divorce. There are so many things that we can be praying for them about. On the other hand, though, think about it this way. Imagine the impact that 19 kids could make in their families, in their classrooms, and beyond if God's blessing was on them, if His Holy Spirit was at work in their lives. That is what I've wanted to be dedicated to praying towards. But I forget. I lose track, and I find that sometimes weeks may have gone by since the last time I prayed for Tommy. And I'm sure that I'm not alone. Why? Why do we struggle with prayer? We could all probably confess to times that we've told someone, oh, I'll pray for you about that. But our follow-through has been half-hearted. Even in our own lives, we may have been encouraged to pray at the time of a big decision, but did we really do it? Or did we just set our course and ask for God's blessing on our plans instead of seeking out His? Tied to this question of what if I prayed are deeper issues of faith. Does prayer make a difference? Does God really hear our prayers? Does He have the power to intervene? Is our view of God small and weak, where we don't really think that He can impact our daily lives? My wife, Becky, and I, we have four kids, ages 11, 9, 6, and 3. And at dinner time, we've been working with them to try to get them to pray before we eat. We want them to pray for something big, though. But every night, it's the same thing. Dear God, help this food to be yummy, and let us have a good day at school. Now, my wife is an excellent cook, so chances are they are going to get some pretty yummy food without divine intervention. But those prayers show what our children's view of God is right now, and how much it still needs to grow. And in the same way, the way that we answer some of those deeper questions about faith show our view of God. And our view of God is going to be reflected in how we pray, what we pray for, and how often we pray. So wherever you are right now, whether you pray daily or never, we can all grow in our view of God and prayer. So this morning, I want to expand our what-if question to something that may be a bit more challenging. What if I prayed and expected God to answer? I think often we pray without expecting a real answer from God. And we can often fall into the trap of thinking, God doesn't answer if He doesn't give me exactly what I want on my predetermined timetable. But God doesn't work on our schedule, and or always in ways that make sense to us. But the Bible is clear that God hears our prayers. 1 Peter 3:12 describes God as attentive to our prayers. And those prayers make a difference. James 5:16 says prayer is powerful and effective. And Philippians 4:6-8 describes prayer as a source of peace, peace that passes all understanding. The Bible believes that prayer can make a difference, and for these reasons and more, we are encouraged to pray continually with all kinds of requests, to be devoted and faithful in prayer. The Bible doesn't also just tell us to pray and leave us to figure out the rest. We are given great examples of prayer. Abraham prays and pleads with God for His mercy on a city. God listens and responds, but not in a way that Abraham would have expected. Nehemiah prays to God in times of great need, and God intervenes dramatically, far beyond what Nehemiah could have anticipated. Perhaps most important of all, though, is the example of Jesus. Jesus is a tremendous model of prayer. His disciples asked Him how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. And that's where we first hear the Lord's Prayer. He informs them that only certain things can be accomplished requiring prayer when He casts out demons in Mark chapter 9. Jesus always gave prayer a priority, whether it was early in the day before a long day of work before Him, or at the end of an exhausting day of ministry. When Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane before His arrest, He reinforces that prayer should seek God's will and that our prayers don't always get answered in the ways that we would hope or expect. This morning, I want to take a closer look at a story that Jesus told about prayer. If you have your Bibles or your phones, you can open up to Luke chapter 18. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry, we will have it on the screen. What we're going to look at is a passage known as the Parable of the Persistent Widow. And it contains what I think is a fairly unusual illustration of prayer. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Here is a very straightforward explanation as to why this parable was written and how it can encourage or challenge us. Since the audience is Jesus' disciples, we can understand that this parable's message would be for those who are seeking to be followers of Jesus. Reading on, he said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" A valuable starting point for any parable is to take a look at the characters and try to figure out who they represent. So in this case, we have the judge and the widow. And the disciples, and by extension us, are represented by the widow. And in this culture, the widow would have been one of the most vulnerable people in society. The fact that she is a widow means that life has already dealt her a difficult hand. Being a follower of God does not guarantee us freedom from hardship. We also read that the widow is a victim of injustice. Now, we don't know the specifics of her story, but we know that she is persistent in her request for justice. We read that she kept coming to the judge, but does she find a sympathetic ear? This is where the parable is a little bit quirky. Since the widow represents followers of Jesus, that must mean that God is represented by the judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. If that doesn't sound quite right, hold on for a moment until we get to the parable's conclusion. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." The judge puts her off, but he realizes this widow, she's not going away. Other versions of this text render the last phrase as "wear me out," but perhaps "attack me" speaks more to the desperation of the scene. Even though the judge doesn't really care, he decides to intervene. And I think we can understand the judge's response. What parent here in this room has not been worn down by a child repeatedly asking for the same thing? But surely this is not what prayer is, a wearing down of God? And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus makes the comparison and contrast for us. If that is what the callous judge says, what about God? God is loving. He is just. He cares for the widow and the orphan. He is faithful and powerful, and he has given us his great promises about prayer. Will he keep putting us off? The answer is no. But as with any good teaching, there's that little tweak at the end. Jesus asks, "If the Son of Man comes," that's a phrase he often uses to describe himself, "will he find faith on the earth?" Will Jesus find people like the widow? People who are faithful in prayer? People who are persistent even when it seems like life is out to get them? People who believe in God's promises to hear and to act? Are we like the widow? Do we pray without giving up? Pastor and author Max Lucado gives some straightforward advice regarding prayer. So pray, Since God works, prayer works. Since God is good, prayer is good. Since you matter to God, your prayers matter in heaven. You're never without hope because you are never without prayer. Are any of you this morning without hope? If you're new to your faith or just trying to figure things out, it may seem awfully hard to have hope. As someone who's been a Christian for many years, we sometimes lose hope because we forget. We forget the times that God has answered prayers. We forget the times we've experienced God's comfort and peace. All we see is our current unchanging circumstance. This is why knowing the Bible is so important, so that we can look back and be reminded of God's faithfulness through the generations. What if I prayed and expected God to answer? Pastor and author Tim Keller writes, "Prayer is also the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our loves. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things he has for us. To fail to pray, then, is not merely breaking some religious rule. It is a failure to treat God as God. If I prayed, I might experience deep change. But do I honestly want that? Change sometimes is very frightening. The status quo is much more comfortable. If I prayed, maybe God would ask me to do something I don't want to do. So, am I praying for anything big? If God answered all my prayers right now, would my world be radically different? Or do I pray wimpy prayers that fail to treat God as God?" I recently came across an example, a story of prayer and life change. Some of you may be familiar with the story of Louis Zamperini. His remarkable story of survival and resilience is told in Lauren Hillenbrand's book, Unbroken, and the movie of the same name. Louis was a troubled kid who found his gifting in running, so much so that he made the U.S. Olympic team that traveled to Berlin, Germany in 1936. Later, during World War II, he finds himself out in the Pacific on a bombing crew. A search and rescue mission that he is on goes bad, and his plane ends up crashing. The ordeals that he and some of his crewmates endure on the open ocean waters for 47 days and then in a Japanese POW camp are so outrageous, they're almost unbelievable. People will often joke about foxhole prayers, the "God, get me out of this situation and I promise I'll be a good person." You know, perhaps we even snicker at, you know, the desperation of those types of prayers. But could that be sincere? Could God actually be listening and respond to that? Why don't we take a look at the prayer of Louis Zamperini.
Dedicate my whole life to you. I'll do whatever you want.
desperate prayer followed by some relief in the form of rain. A prayer followed by hope? Not quite. Things get a whole lot worse before they get better. Spoiler alert, Zamperini survives. His prayer is answered. But what about his promise? The movie ends with Zamperini's liberation, but the book goes on to chronicle some of the challenges he faces as he tries to put his life back together. He suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. His wife, who finds faith, tries to encourage her often disengaged and growingly abusive husband. His wife asks him to attend some outreach events being put on by the famous evangelist Billy Graham. Let me read an excerpt from Unbroken that describes a resistant Louis listening to Billy Graham. Louis was suddenly wide awake. Describing Jesus rising from his knees after a night of prayer, Graham asked his listeners, how long had it been since they prayed in earnest? Louis felt indignant rage flaring in him, a struck match. Graham looked out over his audience. Here tonight, there's a drowning man that is out lost in the sea of life. Louis was winding tight. Louis was on the raft. There was gentle Phil crumpled up before him, Max breathing skeleton, endless ocean stretching in every direction, the sun lying over them, the cunning bodies of sharks waiting, circling. He was a body on a raft, dying of thirst. He felt words whisper from his swollen lips. It was a promise thrown at heaven, a promise he had not kept, a promise he had allowed himself to forget until just this instant. If you will save me, I will serve you forever. It was the last flashback he would ever have. Louis let go and turned toward Graham. He felt supremely alive. When they returned to their apartment, Louis went straight to his cache of liquor. He carried the bottles to the kitchen sink and poured their contents into the drain. He hurried around the apartment, gathering packs of cigarettes and a secret stash of girly magazines. Everything that was part of his ruined years, he heaved it all down the trash chute. In the morning, he woke feeling cleansed. Louis dug out the Bible that had been issued to him by the Air Corps. When he thought of his history, what resonated with him now was not all that he had suffered, but the divine love that he believed had intervened to save him. That morning, he believed he was a new creation. Louis's prayer was answered, and Louis kept his promise, and God used him to do some amazing things. Now, whether the story of Louis Zamperini or the widow resonates with you more, I want you to be challenged this morning to pray with expectation that God will answer your prayer. Now, let me make sure I'm clear here, though. Praying with expectation does not always mean we get what we want. Sometimes God will answer no, and that's often very hard to hear. Sometimes the answer doesn't come for years, maybe decades. Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with a list of those who lived by faith but died still awaiting God's answer. And sometimes it is just frustrating to live in a broken world where life is messy and where it takes a tremendous amount of faith to continue to pray. How long has it been since you prayed in earnest? Up to this point, I've been fairly vague. So let's get specific. Let's get real. What is one thing or one person you need to commit to pray for? What's the decision or problem that you're facing? What is the sin issue or the mistake that you've made that you need to confess in prayer and ask for help with? I want you to name that thing and commit to praying about it for a week. Pray with expectancy that God would answer your prayer. And for those of you who don't know God, this could be a great opportunity just to pray that he would reveal himself to you. Now, I know it's easy to walk out these doors on a Sunday morning filled with good intentions, but I also know that I can easily forget. So this morning, I want you to take a reminder of your prayer with you. On the benches, you should find an index card. I want you to write your prayer down. I want you to keep it with you on your desk, on your nightstand, in your wallet, wherever you're going to see it and be reminded to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up now. They're just going to play silently for a moment or two, just to give you a chance to just reflect and think about it, to fill out that card. So I have my card here. I have the names of my four kids and 19 nieces and nephews. I hope you take your card with you this morning. And to pray. Pray this week. And after this week is over, you have my permission to keep on praying without giving up. You know, maybe after 1 week, God will have given you his answer. Or maybe he'll have convicted you of something or someone else to pray for. Now is the time to cultivate that personal discipline of prayer. If you believe what the Bible says about prayer, you cannot afford not to pray. What if we prayed and expected God to answer? We cannot afford to miss the opportunity for God to change our lives, our church, and the people around us. Let me close us out in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, please help us. Help us to show that persistence that the widow showed so that we would be faithful in praying to you. Because we know that you hear us. We know that you answer and that you can change our lives and the world around us. Lord, we just want to pray this morning as well for the gifts that we offer to you. May these offerings be pleasing to you and may you use those to bring more people into your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name.